This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
There you go.
Hey, do yourself a favor.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Favor and subscribe to our Instagram page, right?
Yep.
Do it. Because Spectre's like tracking this, and there's a huge bonus in it for him if we get to a certain number. But no, seriously, subscribe. We do some fun things on there, right?
Well, we know he's listening. He stole my take.
He did. He stole your take yesterday. Yeah.
Literally used it on the drive. So I love that. So yep. We keep all these shows together because we're all friends and we're all family here. Coming today, though, Bink and Logan from 10 to 2 as Gold and Cody are.
Oh, they were suspended because of what happened in Springfield, right?
No.
Because of the karaoke incident. I'm being serious about this. Our GM had heard that he sang My Name Is What? And she goes, you're suspended. That is a terrible karaoke song. You're out.
Their former board operator, Nick Short, is getting married in Northern California. So
where the girls are warmer, right? Isn't that what they say?
I wish they all could. Anyways,
you think Alex will find himself a California girl?
I don't know. He's not in Vegas.
913-586-7965.
He's got to go to the Grand Canyon for that. True story. And then maybe Vegas. But
such a smooth ride.
Yeah. She's such a smooth ride.
Did Alex hook up in the Grand Canyon?
You don't know the story.
I don't know that story.
Oh, gosh. I don't know how much he's told on air.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah, I'll tell you the story off there. He told me on our car ride down.
I know a lot of stories about Alex that I would never share because his mom is a dedicated listener to the show.
So Vern, a dedicated listener to the show, and me, a dedicated listener to Vern, had this to say yesterday about what Aaron Judge is currently doing in baseball.
The batting average is that high, and I don't think the average sports fan is really aware of it. Honestly, I think outside of New York, sports fans are tired of the batting average is that high.
Sorry.
And I don't think the average sports fan is really aware of it. Honestly, I think outside of New York, sports fans are tired of Aaron Judge. To be quite honest, maybe I'm alone in that, but I just haven't heard enough talk about, like you said, a crazy statistic that when I was a kid would have been front page news more days than not.
So Vern said they actually asked the question. I was like, how impressed are you with Aaron Judge's, you know, start to this season? He was hitting 423 or 425 yesterday, went over three, now hitting 417. Still hitting 417 on May 6th, and yet, meh. And I was telling Mac this morning, I was like, man, when I was growing up watching baseball, like, it would have been everywhere. It would have been the topic. It would have been, hey, it's Aaron Judge is still hitting over 400.
It would have been Judge Watch. Like, every day on ESPN.com on the front page, they would have where Aaron Judge is, right? That's kind of what it would be like. SportsCenter would be
leading
with
it. At least in my opinion. Now, maybe I was young and didn't understand where the time was in the season, and maybe it would have to be until June to where he's actually hitting 400 to be like, well, there's still a lot of baseball. I understand that, but, like, I feel like there'd be more coverage of it, especially being a Yankee wearing pinstripes. Hey, here's Aaron Judge's, you know, stat line tonight. He's 2-3. He's now hitting 421. Like, I feel like there'd be more of it. And Vern says maybe we're tired. You say that maybe there's a way to fix baseball.
Well, I do. And I was looking at the NBA over the weekend with their new TV deal with NBC, right? And what they're going to do with NBC and Peacock and, you know, how they're going to televise games and just how the NBA does it right now. But more importantly, how the NFL does it right now. We talk about sports in relation to the NFL every single day, right? The NFL is king. How does everybody else get their kind of piece of the pie and all that kind of stuff? I think what baseball is truly missing are at least two, and I say at least two, probably max of two, where I call them national TV nights, where you take Tuesday and Wednesday. You're not taking Sunday because you can't do it on Sunday because it gets lost in September and October when it's your two biggest months of the year because football's going on, right? So I'm taking Tuesday and Wednesday as two national TV nights. And now this requires a television partner to pay the freight on this, but if baseball wants to be on that kind of national stage, you need to have a product like the NFL does on Sundays. And what I would do on Tuesday and Wednesday is I would have a 6 p.m. Central window and an 8 p.m. Central window, just like you have a noon and a 3 window in the NFL. And they're all nationally televised games with that regional coverage. You know, you get that regional map, which part of the country is getting this game today, which part of the country is getting that game of the day. And you make it all one network televising all of the games. And you get your regional game, right? You get the Royals game in Kansas City, but it's on a national network, and they have the ability constantly to go back to the studio and give you highlights of what's going on, of games in progress. And I think if you kind of introduced it that way and had those national nights for baseball on a national network, then you could get more people paying attention to what's going on. Because we know what's going on in the NFL, basically, guys, because we're force-fed it. Whether you're watching a game or you're watching Red Zone, you're force-fed everything. You know everything that's going on. Baseball doesn't have that kind of platform anymore.
Yeah, and I think the other problem is baseball in itself is doing it. Like I it's tough to use like a yard analogy, but it's like you have the ingredients in your garage to like you have the weed and feed, you have the edger, you have a nice mower, but yet your yard looks like garbage.
Well, you got to call Aspen. I mean, that's the only way you can get it done.
I knew that was coming. And the thing about it is that you have the opportunity to like showcase what is yours. Mm-hmm. You have De La Cruz, you have Aaron Judge, you have Bobby Witt Jr., you have Paul Skeens, you have these amazing young talented players. Judge 34, but you get what I'm saying. And yet you're just passing up the ways to make it, you know, presentable. You're just like, yeah, I'll get to it. It's like, okay. You drive by the guy's yard, you're like, hey, he mowed it, but there's still just weeds everywhere. There's trash in his yard. He's letting his bushes go. He needs to trim them up a little bit. And it's just like,
you got to trim your bushes.
You got De La Cruz.
Jen did it over the weekend. It was great. I don't have to do it. She's out there trimming the bushes. It's fantastic.
Okay.
I just want to win, Jen.
So you have these players, and you have, like Saturday, the Royals and Baltimore were on Fox, right? You could have gone from the Kentucky Derby to go see Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, and Bobby Witt Jr. And baseball, you know, they paid their sponsorships. They paid for the advertisement. Okay, we'll do this, we'll do that. And then just nothing else. So for me, like, baseball will continue to go down this route because they wasted Harper. They wasted Trout. And Trout got hurt a lot towards the end of it. But for 10 years, Trout was doing fine. And now you've got Skeens, De La Cruz, Bobby Witt Jr., you know, all these players, Aaron Judge hitting 417. And it's like, we don't have anything.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have anybody, you know, really caring about it. And, you know, I know that we played the audio of Sean Merriman talking about, you know, the Chargers. And no offense to you guys, but, like, I'm sorry. Like, people care more about that take than they do about Aaron Judge hitting 417.
And no question.
And I know I've seen the text line say, well, that's because he'll hit below 200 in the playoffs. This is an anomaly of what the playoffs are. Like, hitting 400 in baseball today, this long into the season, should be something that is sought out and watched and followed. Just like when he was hitting 60 home runs a couple years ago and everybody was watching at the very end of the season. Like, right now, like,
what's harder to do? I think it's harder to hit 400 than it is to hit 60 home runs, right?
Yeah, you could hit 220 and hit 60 home runs, especially in New York. But, like, the thing is, like, baseball's had its opportunities, and until you see something different, like, I loved when they did the, what was it, the black and white game, whatever that field's called. I can't think of the name of the field right now. Whatever it was, when they did the tribute to the Negro Leagues and Bob Kendrick was there and he was announcing it and they put it in black and white and they were wearing the outfits and everything was great and everybody was locked in. And then they just like never went back to it. It's like, if you make something really nice at a family dinner for a holiday or a get together and someone says, hey man, that key lime pie you made was delicious. My wife loved it. A lot of people loved it. You just keep making that until people say, I'm ready for something new.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody at all has gotten tired of anything in baseball because they haven't had it yet. No one's gotten that piece of that pie yet in baseball because, you know, we wait. We're like, oh, yeah, Ohtani's great. Judge is good. But, like, Ohtani last year, 50-50, and nobody knew about it until the last game of the year.
I know. It's crazy.
And Judge is doing this, and no one's literally following. So it's, you know, it is what it is. So.
And that's why I think the national TV, like, baseball has been for years, at least in my lifetime, and I don't know what it was like before because I didn't experience it, but baseball has always been the king of telling me why things can't get done. I call them baseball excuses. And there was one time where we had a bracket of 64 different baseball excuses we received from the old PR guy with the Royals, and I'm not kidding about that. 64 different excuses of why things couldn't get done. Baseball has made a living of telling everybody why we can't instead of thinking outside the box and saying why we can. And I was at the Jay yesterday talking to one of the guys, and he's an older guy, and we were talking baseball. And I said, I don't mean this as a knock to you, but I said, you're an old guy and you love the pitch clock. You like extra innings. You like all the new stuff that baseball has rolled out there. And for a long time, baseball was afraid to upset the apple cart because the old guard fans, the OG Ananobis, if you will, of baseball, weren't going to like the new rules that they put out there. Well, everybody shockingly loves all the new rules that baseball has in place, and they can't wait for the newest one to come in next year, and that's being able to challenge balls and strikes. So instead of sitting there and telling me why things can't get done, and we got this TV contract, or we got that TV contract, or we got this TV contract, basically what baseball is right now, and I'm going to use a deep reference that maybe only Spector and Vern are going to get, and that is baseball right now is like the Dreamland Cafe, and they're trying to serve 18 different things instead of just focusing on that Pakistani food because that's where he's from and that's where he needs to do. And Babu Bhatt, you need to focus on one thing. Mm. They've got a menu with 85 different things on it, and you look at it and you go, I just don't know why I'm here or what I'm getting. You need to condense that menu. You need to go to those national TV nights. I don't care what your TV contracts are. They're all going to expire. The commissioner needs to say nobody's signing new contracts for TV in baseball till we all get this thing in-house and in one funnel. And what's best for the game, in my opinion, are those national TV nights where everybody's playing in two different windows and you have the ability, let's go back to the NFL desk and see what JB's saying about this game or whatever, and you get the highlights. And so you're forced to see these highlights because how often do you watch a regional broadcast of any baseball game? They're not really showing you highlights of what else is going on in baseball. Hardly ever do you get an in-game highlight of, oh my God, did you see what just happened? But if you're watching this on a national level, they're breaking into the Royals game in a little side box showing you a highlight of an Ohtani home run or a Tarek Skubal strikeout or whatever the case may be. That's how you grow your fan base, by exposing your fan base. I think these regional networks, they don't care about what else is going on in baseball. They just care about their game, and that's fine. But if you want to grow the game, you have to expose the fans and bring the party to the fans. And once they experience and have a little hit on it every Tuesday and Wednesday, like, I really like this. I want to continue to follow on other days. And that's how you grow this game.
This local guy is fourth on the list, and we play a game of who would you rather have coming up next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Let's rage. Let's rage.
Tuesday. Yeah, that's kind of what it sounds like, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Steve Aoki's going to come in here and throw a cake at my thighs.
Skrillex.
Yeah.
Everybody do it at the same time.
Why do I want you to talk like Gangnam Style?
Yeah. Boy, that was a hit for a while.
For a hot minute it was.
Yeah.
So is that one that was like, what did the fox say, I think? What did the fox say?
A lot of people chiming in on that last segment. MLB TV and Apple has MLB Big Inning, which is the equivalent of NFL Red Zones, four games at once going on in big play. I love it. Been watching it for 3 years, but I agree. They should broadcast that nationally on those open TV nights. A lot of people saying, yeah, their baseball product would be more watched if they put it on more national channels.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah, Sunday night, I doubt the last thing you're doing at 7 o'clock is going to ESPN and watch Sunday Night Baseball. HBO dominates Sunday nights, right? Like, there's a lot of people that are tuned into The Last of Us. There's a lot of people that are tuned into the CBS shows, the traditional Sunday night television.
Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, you get Simpsons. The anime on Fox or whatever it is, the animation domination, whatever they do on Fox, mm-hmm. with like Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, all these other shows.
American Dad.
Which is sad that that's what you're losing to. but like, put that.
But that's why you take Tuesday and Wednesday when there's nothing else going on. Sure. Own those nights. And I love the fact that you got MLB, whatever that was, on app. But again, you're forcing somebody to go somewhere where they're not normally going. You got to give it to the people and say, you know what? Every Tuesday and Wednesday, we're on Fox or we're on NBC or we're on Peacock or whatever it is where you have to go. If you want to watch baseball, that's the only place you're going to get baseball those two nights. And it encompasses everything. And you get highlights of everything. And you make this thing like the NFL. You're never going to be the NFL. But boy, you can take ideas that the NFL has and utilize those ideas. And I think one of those is the national TV type stuff.
No doubt. Baseball definitely needs to get into the lab with Paul Levesque and figure out how they can make their sport more entertaining. I've been beating that like a dead horse.
But I think the sport is entertaining, Dusty. I think baseball's in a great spot. It's the most entertaining it's been for me, quite honestly, in my lifetime because of how fast the games go right now, and you're not capitalizing on that. Like, I think baseball's got great talent. It's faster than an NFL game.
Yeah, 2 hours and 33 minutes is the average runtime for an MLB game right now.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
3:05 is an NFL game.
Feels longer.
Yeah, it really does.
It does.
What feels longer?
NFL. Football.
Yeah, it feels like it's 4 and
like
a half
you said, 3:05, I'm like, really? 3.5 feels like.
This was the first year that I think people realized how long, we keep going back to it, but the reaction during the playoffs of people watching the entire game instead of Red Zone was quite eye-opening for me.
Are you counting halftime as part of the game?
Yeah, the time. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, 3 hours and 5 minutes, you know, from kickoff to the time the game ends. Yeah.
Go ahead.
When you bring up Paul Levesque, though, can you tell me if I'm wrong? But I think you're also talking about not just making entertainment, marketing that entertainment. Yeah, like, and that's what he does.
Yeah, where's that Detroit Angel? Like, you hadn't seen it. Where's that Detroit Angels? You know, even though nobody threw any punches, but it was a highlight last night that was controversy, right?
But you know, like stuff like that, like if you're watching the Royals game on Tuesday Night Baseball on NBC, oh my God, let's go out to Anaheim and show you what, because again, you're going to have two windows, a 6 o'clock and an 8 o'clock window central time. And so games are taking place on both coasts. Look, I don't want to hear the excuses. I just don't. I don't want to hear why they can't. I don't want to hear about time zones. I don't want to hear about gate receipts. I don't want to hear about any of that. Baseball, again, 64 excuses from one old PR guy we had in a bracket forum. That's what baseball is good at, making excuses for why you can't instead of saying, you know, the hell with all that. Let's start over and let's, you know, really dig our teeth into this and figure out a way to make this work. I should be the next commissioner of baseball.
Coach a team and commission.
It's not that hard. It really isn't. Like, eliminate the excuses, right? Like, that's one of those big things. Stop making excuses for why things can't get done. There's nothing worse than when somebody says, hey, let's try to do this, and you get 10 people. Well, we can't because let's figure out a way to get it done.
Yeah. I mean, look, you gotta go to the lab. That's all I can say. It is also low-hanging fruit season. Obviously, we played that Sean Merriman clip earlier, but of course, your buddies over at ML Football, they have NFL quarterback power rankings.
They are the ultimate low-hanging fruit.
Going into the 2025 NFL season, Patrick Mahomes, not one. Josh Allen. Patrick Mahomes is not two. It's Lamar Jackson.
Wow.
But then Patrick Mahomes still doesn't come in yet. It's Joe Burrow. And then at four is Patrick Mahomes, and Jaden Daniels rounds out your top five. So Allen, Jackson, Burrow, Mahomes, Jaden Daniels, your power five quarterbacks, one through five, going into the 2025 season. Mac, Bob, time's yours. Okay.
I thought he was
going to... You could see that on the screen.
Yeah, yes.
That was the icky face.
Yeah, it was the ick, yeah.
Okay.
Disgust.
Find me one individual that isn't deranged in the head that would take anybody over Patrick Mahomes as their starting quarterback.
Power rankings.
If you gave everybody the opportunity to start a team and they did not take Patrick Mahomes with the first pick, they go to jail. Because they're not smart enough to wander the streets.
Yeah. Allen, asinine.
Allen, Jackson, Burrow, Mahomes, Daniels.
Allen, Jackson, Burrow, and then Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. How many combined Super Bowls do the top three guys have above Patrick Mahomes? Is it more than Patrick?
Well, the only thing at the top is a Chattahoochee that gets hotter than a Hoochie Coochie. And then you got Joe Burrow at third. And then you got Mahomes at fourth and Jaden at fifth. I'll give you a 6 through 10 if you want it.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield, Justin Herbert, Matthew Stafford, Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl MVP, and then Jordan Love.
Baker Mayfield at six.
Who came up Jalen with this Hurts list?
Your boys, ML Football.
Oh, they're great. We love them.
Yeah, you wanna call me a frat boy? This is a group of fraternity boys over there.
I mean, Mahomes is legitimately beaten the two guys that are number one and number two in the past two seasons to make it to the Super Bowl, one of which he won.
Does it matter if last year's stats are great?
Well, we have nothing else to judge it on.
Well, he's in baseball. This year. I feel like, and I do this every single year, and I'm sorry, listeners, if you roll your eyes at this, we never had this energy with Brady. Like, even if Manning had a more... Even if he had a better statistical year prior, it was always Brady at one. In my opinion, I feel like it was always
winner,
Brady.
Brady, number one. Patrick Mahomes, winner, number one. Yeah, he lost the Super Bowl. So did Tom Brady. Twice, three times.
And I get it.
10 years he didn't make a Super Bowl win, you know.
And I get it. Allen and Jackson, you know, they necked it out last year for MVP. I thought Lamar Jackson had the better year when it came to numbers. Allen won the award. So they have the MVP of the league who didn't get to the Super Bowl, who lost to the fourth best quarterback on this rink of top quarterbacks.
For the fourth time in the playoffs in his career.
But going into the 2025 season, their power ranking at top quarterback is Josh Allen. Like, at what point are we gonna put the same sort of energy on Josh Allen that people in baseball put on Aaron Judge? Does it start now? You got your MVP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've been to the playoffs. When does that energy happen for him?
No, there's nobody in professional sports that needs a championship more than Aaron Judge. That's just a fact. But Josh Allen is right there.
I mean, at some point, you got to win something meaningful. Right. And I'll give you the MVP because you've deserved one probably in the past and didn't get it. But, like, you've also got to be better than your talent in your league. And yet, Burrow never won an MVP. Has beaten Mahomes, but at some point we've got to get over the past.
We got to move past that. It's like still talking about Dan Marino's rookie year, you know?
It's being like, yeah, remember when that guy dated that really hot chick? Yeah, that was like freshman year of college. We're 36 now. Like, that's great. She's married with three kids. You're single, you know, doing nothing. Joe Burrow did beat Patrick Mahomes a while ago.
I'm more impressed with the two supermodels he got out of the car with at the Met Gallery last night than beating Patrick Mahomes like literally a lifetime ago in the NFL. How many people are even on the team that the Chiefs played Joe Burrow? You know, like 5-10 people, 10 max? I mean,
Joe Flacco beat Tom Brady and won a Super Bowl. I didn't hear anything. He won the Super Bowl.
That's a really good point to bring up, too. You're right. And I think Dusty is right about that. You know, no matter what
Tom Brady did, Tom was always the best. And we never made an argument for anybody else because we weren't stupid. Now the internet has made us stupid. Social media has made us dumb. Allowing everybody to share their thoughts has made our country a dumb place when it comes to sports takes. Because you got people like this out there constantly trying to make a case for why Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs aren't the best. So here we are on the 5th day of May yesterday. We have Sean Merriman saying the Chargers are going to win the division and Patrick Mahomes is the 4th best quarterback. Patrick Mahomes taking notes. As we know, all of this stuff is great fuel for his fire. And nobody still understands that. The more you say ridiculously about Patrick Mahomes, factually incorrect about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, the more they're motivated by it. And the more they're going to go, all right, enough of this. Let's get back to the Super Bowl, win another one. Had they won the Super Bowl, he probably still would be fourth on that list. Because people want somebody new. We're in an era now of every year we want something new. And I started to think about this the other day with the Celtics. This was yesterday driving in. I was thinking about, should we like not allow teams that won the championship the year before to even play the next season? Because all we want is somebody new. All we care about is somebody new winning something. And we're not appreciating nationally the dominance that has been the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And in our lifetimes, at least in mine, we probably won't see another run like this that the Kansas City Chiefs are on in professional sports.
Until the Chiefs do it again, starting this year.
No, this is run is continuing. I'm talking when this thing is all done.
The dynasty.
Yeah, we're not going to see something like this. We're just not.
Your bottom five that we do in football season, or I guess you would say your Bob's bottom feeders, number 28, Mason Rudolph. Number 29, Jackson Dart. Number 30.
Jackson Dart is number what? The guy has not taken a snap.
Number 30 is J.J. McCarthy. Number 31 is Derek Carr. And number 32 is Anthony Richardson.
Oh, Tony Richardson down on the list. Terrible landlord, too.
That's too bad.
And number 26 is Shador Sanders above Justin Fields.
Damn.
All right. So somebody clearly went into the garage and came up with this.
I think they're still in the garage.
Ridiculous.
So it's Shador interesting.
Shador Sanders may not even be the backup.
Yeah. And then, you know, you have your, you know, predictions, your expectations. And I thought it was interesting because I do believe that you could have an argument that Daniels could be a top five quarterback for what he did last year. Now they've padded him up quite a bit with some talent, an offensive line now.
Yeah.
He's already had weapons, of course, before that. But you had Deebo Samuel, you had Laremy Tunsil, McLaurin's still there. You got Brian Robinson Jr. You've got a solid unit around Daniels to be a top five. Plus he's, you know, a dual threat type of quarterback. And Good Morning Football had your top five dual threat quarterbacks of all time. Number one being Michael Vick. Number two being Lamar Jackson. Number three being Cam Newton. Number four being Randall Cunningham. And number five being Donovan McNabb.
Where's John Elway?
Not on that list.
John Elway was a dual threat quarterback.
Was he a dual threat or was he a guy who could scramble and create time?
I don't know. Some of the greatest plays Elway had are with his legs. Young was a dual threat quarterback.
For sure.
But I think there's a chance if he has a year like he had last year, you might take Cam Newton off this list.
Woo.
I mean, Cam did it for what? 3 years?
He had like three awesome years.
Three awesome years.
Some nice hats.
Yeah.
One life-changing year really was what it was.
That's what it was for Cam Newton. He had 1 year.
And
he
had an MVP season.
MVP season went 15-1.
It was awesome.
Lost in the Super Bowl.
And we're holding on to that.
That's a pretty special year.
It was special. I mean, but we're holding, again, these are one of these things in sports. We're holding on. Oh, look what Cam Newton did that 1 year. Patrick Mahomes is a body of work. Joe Burrow's better.
But yeah, I mean, I think Daniels could be one of those guys that is in this mold of athletes where it's like, he's going to do some crazy stuff. He's super talented. He seems like he's got the drive and the desire for the NFL. We saw the video earlier where he was shown to OTA sprinting to the front door. You got to look back at that. If you're, you know,
what if he fell over a curb?
I mean, that's just okay. But yeah, I mean,
Jamal did carrying a TV set in 1 year.
Well, he's not a dual threat quarterback.
Should Lamar Jackson be number one on this?
Until he can dethrone Vic. I mean, he's two, and he's still playing.
What's it going to take to dethrone Vic? Lamar's had not great postseason success, but Vic didn't.
Yeah, exactly. Vic didn't. He's got all the stats. He was like the 16th leading rusher in the league last season, and he was like fourth in passing. It's insane what he does. I just don't. Yeah, I guess that's the question, Bob. What does he have to do?
Lamar?
Yeah.
Win a Super Bowl, probably.
Think to be the best dual threat?
Yeah, I think that's where we judge people now. You know that. Yeah, like, everything's based on super, except for Mahomes.
Well, this is based on a skill set.
Josh Allen's better. Yeah.
This is more so based on a skill set, though, than it is a career set.
But it's also somebody's opinion, too, right?
100%.
Right? It is. I mean, there's no way to determine who the best, like, there's not a metric that you can look at. So it's everybody's opinion. So I think a lot of opinions are made based on generation as well. And so I understand why Randall Cunningham definitely should be on the list. McNabb is a hell of a, you know, pull as well on that list for dual threat quarterbacks. But I mean, if you're asking me and you just come up to me randomly and say, hey, who do you think the best quarterback is dual threat wise in NFL history? My mind would probably immediately say Lamar. And then I would probably think Randall Cunningham after that. But that's me. I love Lamar. I love Randall Cunningham. I love Donovan McNabb. There's certain players that you just love and, you know, whatnot. So that's kind of where I am. But people sleep on Mahomes' dual threat ability, too. I still think he is the most, how do I put it, poignant runner in the NFL when it comes to a quarterback. His runs just, I mean, they're not often, but when he does run, it is a death nail. And he twists that knife and you bleed out. Those are the type of runs that break backs all over the place. And so I look at Patrick Mahomes as a great dual threat quarterback, but he'll never be on those lists because he doesn't run enough. And he's not flashy, really, when he runs.
He won't have the stats, but you're right. You think about those times. I mean, obviously the Titans games comes to mind, the Philly Super Bowl, the Eagles or the Niners Super Bowl on 4th and 1. The game is on the line. What happens?
Yeah.
Mahomes' legs every time.
Yep.
Yeah. Michael Vick. Career running numbers for the dual threat. He ran for 6,173. I'm sorry, he ran for 6,109. Lamar Jackson in his career in 7 years ran for 6,173. Obviously, Vic loses 2 years in his prime being a, you know,
very
that's
close.
His problem.
Yeah, though, right. Yeah. That's, and I'm okay, well, easy. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying, like, that's probably why the numbers are closer than they should be.
Yeah.
Vic played 13, Lamar's played 7. You could have that argument for sure. And I think it'd be valid if you want to say that Lamar's the best dual threat. Because Vic didn't win anything.
No, he didn't. He never did win anything.
And Lamar hasn't won anything.
They were on mid-teams. But at least Lamar's in the playoffs every year. Vic, I don't know that he was.
And I think that it is dual. So you're talking about the legs. Vic had the legs. But it is dual. Part of that is the arm.
Yeah.
Lamar does have a better arm. He's a better thrower.
Sure,
Michael Vic could throw that ball around.
Could throw it 100 yards. You're right.
There was a list that came out as well of, like, best receivers. And they had Ja'Marr Chase over Justin Jefferson.
Wow. See, talent-wise, I think it is a wash.
Fair.
But from the ancillary standpoint of who's going to help your team win or who's going to cost your team, give me Justin Jefferson every day of the week. Ja'Marr Chase is too much of a volatile wide receiver for me.
I will say Chase has had Joe Burrow his entire career, essentially.
Yeah.
Right? The big year at LSU, and then, you know, every year he's – now, again, Jake Browning was in there for a little bit, and he's had backups – but he's had a good quarterback every year.
Yep.
Kirk Cousins without Justin Jefferson looked like a completely lost soul. I don't know how much of Justin Jefferson helped Sam Darnold, but I would assume a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're going to see J.J. McCarthy come in here for the Minnesota Vikings, and I think the one thing that they're going to say to him from Kevin O'Connell is, like, as long as you find 18, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you don't have to tell Burrow that, because Burrow is so much better than a lot of other quarterbacks, including Patrick Mahomes, according to ML Football. But would you take Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase?
Yeah, Justin Jefferson, no question. I'm not even thinking twice about that.
I don't think I'd be mad if someone said Chase. I think it's a stylistic question, honestly. Chase is 0 to 100. He can break a 60-yard touchdown any time. Jefferson doesn't have as much of that ability. But I'm a route runner, sideline, toe tap kind of receiving guy, and I want Justin Jefferson.
Big route runner.
Yeah, I just don't want a guy who screams in the middle of a game and costs me 15 yards and ultimately a game, too. So that's where I am on that one.
A.J. Brown or Nico Collins?
Give me Nico Collins.
Okay. I'll take A.J., but that's close.
Yeah, A.J.'s reading books.
Because Nico would be your Justin Jefferson. A.J. would be your Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, that's interesting. They're both, yeah, I guess. They're both really, I mean, they're both 0 to 100.
Micah Parsons, Max Crosby. Give me Max, dude. I want him waking up the wrong MF for
all
the time.
No, that's fair.
Max is, I mean, that's a tough one for me.
That is.
I'll lean towards, give me Max Crosby, because that means he's not going to be on the Raiders anymore.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Jahmyr Gibbs or Brian Robinson Jr.?
Gibbs.
My mind is telling me Robinson, but my heart's telling me Gibbs. I'm going to go Gibbs.
I'm a Gibbs guy, so I don't need to waste time on that. Lamar or Burrow?
Lamar.
I have a different answer every day for this, man. I really do. I don't know. Today it's Lamar. Tomorrow might
Bo
be Burrow.
What does Bo Nixon think?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. We'll bring in Bo Nixon.
Jalen Carter, or Chris Jones.
Jalen Carter, because he's younger. There's no question.
Chris Jones.
I mean, Jalen Carter's just entering his prime. Yeah. Chris Jones is merging out of his prime. Yeah. So based on that,
you want KOC or do you want Dan Campbell?
Can you ask me in 6 months?
No, you got 20 seconds to answer.
I'm going to take KOC.
Ooh.
Same here. I'm surprised by that.
No, he's done good with the quarterbacks.
Yep. Mm.
I mean, Jared Goff been pretty good under Dan Campbell's watch.
But Jared Goff was in the Super Bowl, too, before he got there. KOC has taken people like, what's the guy's name now that's the backup? Cousins?
Never heard of him.
Mm.
Darnold?
McCarthy?
Never heard of him.
And we'll see. If he has that threesome, good Lord.
Mm.
James Harden. That's a really good threesome.
Is not part of a good threesome when it was in Oklahoma City because he just always seemed to choke when it mattered the most. There are stats that prove it. Who is 913-586-7965? Who is the NFL equivalent of a James Harden? Go ahead and fill it up with Josh Allen text line. We'll get to that on the other side here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to Start Bench Cut, brought to you by Jay Southland Tow Service. Text line as well, brought to you by, basically, though, Jay Southland Tow Service.
Yeah. I like a little taunting here for just a quick second. ESPN has a tweet out. It says Knicks come back from 20 to win in Boston, and they have a graphic. Celtics 75, Knicks 55, 5:47 to go to third, and it's two Celtics talking smack, you know. Kind of reminds me a little bit of the San Francisco 49ers, you know, posing in that first Super Bowl for the touchdown, and then they got Knicks 108-105, final OT, and Merriam-Webster chimes in and goes, the definition of a comeback, and that's the word of the day.
Mm. Lovely. Lovely.
What an entertaining, great game.
It's a great game.
Wasn't supposed to be.
We'll get back into that in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll let you hear what Mac had to say yesterday.
But since there is NBA playoffs going on, and since there was another prime example of the ultimate show up athlete of James Harden in a big moment. We saw it again. It is what it is. That's what he'll be known for the rest of his career. Really good numbers in the regular season. Offensive score, big moment, playoff happens. It's not there. It happened in Oklahoma City. It happened in Philly. It's now happening in Houston. It is what it is with James Harden. So merits the question, who's your NFL version of James Harden?
I mean, the easy answer is Josh Allen, right? I think, you know, Aaron Judge needs a World Series championship more than anybody else. I think Josh Allen needs that Super Bowl championship to validate him. I mean, that's what we judge quarterbacks on. Lamar could be on that list as well for needing to step up big in the postseason. But I think it's neck and neck between those two guys.
Yeah, I go with Lamar over Allen because I think Josh Allen's played really well in the playoffs. I don't think he's won, but I don't think it's been all his fault. Whereas you look at Lamar and those Ravens losses, and a lot more of the blame starts to point towards Lamar Jackson.
Until
where was
this last year?
I mean, was he good last season?
He came all the way back, and Mark Andrews dropped the pass.
Yeah.
Passes.
Fair. That's fair.
But I think Lamar is the answer because what do we always see with Lamar, right? Now, unfortunately, Harden doesn't run into Jordan, fortunately for him. But unfortunately for Lamar, Allen, Burrow, those guys do run into Patrick Mahomes, kind of like how all those guys in the 90s in the NBA ran into Michael Jordan. Still might have been able to. It's like Scotty Scheffler this past weekend. Shoots 32, 33 under. The guy Van Ruin he plays with on Sunday shoots 8 under and still loses by 9 strokes. So, like, sometimes that does happen, but that's not happening to Harden. That's also not happening to Lamar. It's not like Mahomes is blowing him away with 42-7, and Lamar's all of a sudden in the third quarter coming back, throwing numbers. Lamar's never given his team really a chance to win until this last year against Buffalo when Mark Andrews kind of poo-pooed the bet.
Mm-hmm.
We watched it.
Have we blown anybody out in this Mahomes run in the playoffs? Has there been a game in the postseason?
Was that Colts win a blowout?
His I don't first really remember one. That one, really.
The one where he retired Andrew Luck?
Yeah, I don't know that that was necessarily a blowout per se, or how we were still watching that game like it was, you know, 97, and we were worried about Lynn Elliott missing a field goal. So I think there was still a lot of nerves for a lot of people. But I don't know that Mahomes and company have, quote-unquote, blown anybody out in the postseason, dominated in the postseason, and just knocked the doors off. I think just about every game in their run of the however many postseason games they've had now, seems like they've all been fairly close games for the most part. So the blowout, I don't know that necessarily has been there. But, I mean, you could definitely make the case for Lamar. I want Lamar to get one, obviously, to validate everything that he's done, but not at the expense of Patrick Mahomes. And so that is tough, man. Like, it's hard for these other quarterbacks. And I don't think you get a free pass. I mean, people beat Brady eventually, right? They figured out a way to beat Tom Brady. You just got to figure out a way to do it. And until it happens.
Jake Plummer did it.
Yeah, Jake Plummer did it. If Joe Flacco did it, Eli Manning did it twice, you know.
Nick Foles
did it. Yeah, absolutely. So, like, you can bring down the greatest of all time. People just haven't.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, Lamar hasn't even made a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. There's Josh Allen.
Yeah, I mean,
Lamar hasn't made a Super Bowl.
No. I mean,
think about that. Just think about that. Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, two of the four best quarterbacks in the NFL, and neither of them has even made the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's sick. I mean, this continues to show you how awesome Mahomes and the Chiefs are.
Yeah, I just, like, James Harden's got to be, what, 33?
Yeah, he'd be, like, 34 at this point now.
So yep. It is what it is at this point. Like,
it is what it is, man.
Didn't work in Brooklyn when they tried to put a super team together.
Completely his fault. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that, but I mean, like, he... You
yeah,
know.
No, I am. Yeah, it was. No,
everywhere he's like, been, though, eventually you're the problem.
Yeah, exactly. There's one independent factor right here, one variable, and you're the one that hasn't changed.
So. I saw this on Twitter, and it said, whose career in the NBA would you rather have, James Harden or Russell Westbrook's?
Well, Harden.
Has Harden ever won an MVP?
I just don't like Westbrook.
Yeah, Harden won an MVP. Right. Yeah, he should have won 2-1 over Russell Westbrook. Westbrook won it instead, but...
And take your hatred for Russell Westbrook.
I know that's what
it's hard to.
I think I know. I don't like Russell Westbrook at all, but I think I'm going to choose Russell Westbrook because I think people are going to remember him better than they will remember Harden. Man,
Harden's legacy is getting tarnished by the year.
Meanwhile, Westbrook is reviving his legacy
a little bit. Yeah,
he's a spark plug for a team.
Yeah,
people saying easily Lamar on the text line, 100% Josh Allen, close second Lamar. I did originally put on a rundown Justin Herbert.
Gotcha.
Been into the playoffs twice. Had great numbers in the regular season. Completely different dude in the playoffs. What was it? 5 interceptions last year through 2 all year.
Yeah, crazy.
And then the playoffs, it's like his body like was not him inside there.
I mean,
it was like,
he's had two good quarters in the playoffs.
Yep.
Somebody says Tony Romo or Philip Rivers are the James Harden equivalents of the NFL. I mean,
they didn't switch teams 5 times and kill every team that they.
Well,
were,
yeah, you know? that's a little different.
Yeah,
you're not going to find that. In the NFL.
Somebody says, coaching perspective, Marty Schottenheimer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, look, Marty was his own worst enemy.
Yeah.
He really was. The more you hear from people.
You got to adjust.
After the time is gone, it's just like, what in the hell was he doing? And then as each loss mounted in the playoffs, he got, I don't want to use the term scared, but that's essentially what it is. Got more and more, and instead of just going out there and coaching like you normally did, everything changed in the postseason. People attribute it to that stuff in Cleveland, the drive, the fumble 2 years in a row. Then you get fired and you get back to Kansas City, you make the playoffs. Yeah, you're probably a little tense going through those two playoff losses. My God.
I'm interested in why this person would come into somebody's mind from the 7-4, Matthew Stafford.
He's won a Super Bowl.
He won it. Like, it's over. It's
he's out of the question.
Like, if Harden had a title... Fine. I don't care if you won one and went to the playoffs for 12 years. Like, you got a title. Like, you
Stafford,
won it.
Yeah, Stafford doesn't have playoff chokes. He never made it because he was on bad teams. Yeah, it's not an apt comparison.
No, not at all. Matthew Stafford's in the record books. He's done. I mean,
Stafford's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Harden's
no
in the
doubt.
Hall of Fame as well.
No doubt.
Sure. Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody gets in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Easy.
But no, I think you're right about that. Matthew Stafford is a Hall of Famer. You don't think about that, but he is a Hall of Famer. Now, if you would have said, what's his name in Detroit instead of Matthew Stafford, Goff, okay, maybe you have a little bit of a conversation there, but not much of one. I don't think Goff is a guy that was going, God, he needs a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I liked your MJ Mahomes thing with the quarterbacks. I kind of like that comparison. It kind of made me think of, You know, sure, he didn't have MJ, but he did have the Mahomes' NBA comparison, which is Steph Curry. So it's kind of funny that that works. You know, he had Curry, who has always been compared to Mahomes. So
yeah,
could never beat him.
Nope.
Can't beat him. Join him, right? LeBron, come here, be a backup. Get your ring.
They never asked him to join him. There's a reason for that as well.
Yes.
And Harden could play for the Yankees now, so that's a good thing now, because he can, you know, grow the facial hair. Coming up on the other side, we get to Start Bench Cut, brought to you by Jay Southland Tow Service, 913-586-7965. Start Bench Cut, coming up on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 965, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.